If you want to turn to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, I want to speak to you about learning and teaching the things of God. You know, people that teach us the things of God can become what is termed spiritual fathers unto us. And actually, there are passages in the New Testament that depict that position. People who assumed a spiritual role over others that were converted and taught them the things of God, and they acknowledged them as spiritual fathers. The Apostle Paul on several occasions spoke and wrote to his ministers that were under him, Timothy and Titus, and referred to them as sons in the ministry. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility to not only learn the things of God, but teach the things of God. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, the people of Israel are admonished, they're commanded by Moses, their leader at the time, to learn and to teach the things of God, that they were to keep these things constantly and perpetually before them. Now I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." Now, those of you that were here for the series of sermons that I preached about the Word of God, it probably triggered a reaction when I read commandments, statutes, and judgments. It parallels with what we studied in the 19th Psalm. Those things that God has required of us, His rules, His mandates, how that the Scriptures have authority over us. And so Moses is saying unto the people of Israel, I'm going to teach the commandments. Commandments have reference to authority. God has authority over our lives. And we need to learn that, and we need to teach that. Amen. There are statutes, there are precepts, there are guidelines for your life. You need to learn the guidelines that God has for your life. Amen. God has His will for you. And you can know God's plan for your life. Actually, you'll never have peace until you center your life in God's will. Amen. Just won't. Amen. You have chaos, you have spiritual turmoil all of your life unless you find yourself and put yourself in the will of God. And the way we do that is by learning what His will is for us. And so there's divine teaching in the Word of God, and we are to find out what those teachings are. We are to find out God's guidelines for our lives, and we need to stay within the perimeters of God's guidelines. Now the world tempts us to go outside those boundaries. And it is wrong to go outside those boundaries. Amen. God has specifically and plainly told us what is right and what is wrong. Amen. And people have a tendency to bend the rules, violate God's commandments, transgress His holy and just laws. And when they do that, they have stepped outside the perimeters of the guidelines that are written in God's holy word, and it is sin unto you. It's a sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Amen? And so he says, you know, we have the commandments and the statutes and the judgments of God. And he said, you know, we're to learn these things. I'm to teach these things unto you. You're to learn them that we might have a prosperity in the land. He says, that thou mightest fear. There's another one of those words we found in the 19th Psalm. That we might fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. And that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with you. Do you want things well with you? Do you want things good and prosperous in a spiritual way in your life? Do you want peace? I mean divine peace. I mean peace in your home and in your life. Moses says if you want things to be good for you and well for you, then you're going to have to hear, and you're going to have to observe, and you're going to have to do. Hear, O Israel, observe and do it, that it might be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Amen. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. If you've ever been over to Israel, you'll see those Orthodox Jews, and they'll have wrapped around their arms the scriptures and the commandments of the Lord. And he says you need to bind them around your hand, your arms. And he says, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Also, if you go over in Israel, you'll see them walking around with a box strapped to their forehead. Do something for me, okay? Put your thumb right there. All right, in your peripheral vision, what do you see? Everybody sees their hand, don't they? I mean, no matter where you look, no matter how, where you turn your head, up, down, left, right, you always see that when it's sitting there. And so God is saying, you need to put my commandments and my statutes and my judgments and my laws before you constantly and always. And people, that's part of our problem today. Amen. We unstrap it, we take it away, we look the other way, we turn on the television, and we seem to forget the commandments of the Lord. Keep it before you constantly. These are instructions given to us, and this is how we are to teach our children. This is how we learn. This is how we not only learn, but we teach these things that God has commanded. So I can see where the Orthodox Jew that had a big old box on his forehead, no matter what he did all day long, whether he was eating, whether he was working, or whether he was playing, right there in front of him, he always saw that box, which represented God's commandments. They were before him constantly and always. Bind them upon thy hand. Put them upon thy forehead. He says in these passages, he says, write them on the post of your house, your homes. He says, and on thy gates. He says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which ye swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. I want to stop there. And I know through the years that I have preached a series of sermons about fatherhood, our responsibilities, our obligations. One title comes to mind when I preached on deadbeat dads and faithful fathers. I want to be a faithful father and not a deadbeat dad. And one of the ways that we can be faithful fathers is to educate, not only to learn ourselves, but also teach our children to be faithful to the Lord. We are to, the Bible says, bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, bring your children up, teach them the things of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when John was writing, if you want to look over there in the 13th verse of the second chapter of 1 John, there are two things that I want to point out because I'm going to be somewhat repetitious toward parents and toward fathers. But these are things that need to be repeated at the house of God. These are things that need to be learned by us. John was writing in the book of John, the second chapter, and in verse 13 and verse 14, he says, I write unto you, he says, you fathers, and he says, I have written unto you fathers in verse 14. Notice verse 13 and verse 14, the second chapter of 1 John. John, in essence, was saying, this is something that I've already written to you about. This is something I've already spoken to you about, but I'm going to keep writing to you fathers. And he repeated the same thing. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. He says, I write unto you fathers, which have known him, that is from the beginning. And then you go to verse 14, he says, I have written. Now, this is something that was repeated. In other words, John had repeatedly spoken to fathers and admonished them. And I think one of the reasons that there was repetition to fathers, that he taught them or spoke to them often and constantly, was that they needed to hear their responsibilities and their obligations to teach the things of God. Fathers should be teachers. Amen. Teachers. And children should be learners. They need to learn from their fathers. So I'm not going to apologize for the repetition this morning. Notice in this reading lesson from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, he tells us that we are, in verse 7, to teach our children diligently. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently. The word shenon is used in the Hebrew for this, for several words that are in the English. The whole word, all the words, thou shalt teach them diligently, come from one Hebrew word. And it's a word that is derived from sharpening a knife. Now, my dad has a knife collection. He collects knives. And I've seen him on numerous occasions sharpen a knife. And he'll have that wet rock there, and he'll move it one direction, and he'll move it another direction. And there's a repetition. Like this, you know, over and over and over. And the only way to get it real sharp, where you can cut the hair on your arm, you know, razor sharp, is to repeatedly rub it over that stone. And when it comes to us teaching the things of God, we need to repeatedly teach them, thus saith the Lord. Now, Dr. Carroll said, who was the president and founder of Southwestern Theological Seminary, he said, the best tool in teaching is repetition. Teaching the people over and over again. Now, I don't know if you parents have noticed, but you have to tell your kids more than once to do something. Right? I mean, you have to tell them over and over again many times not to do something or to do something. Do you guys relate to that? I mean, there are some kids you have to repeatedly, over and over and over again, just diligently tell them. And you know, that's the way we are to educate our children in the things of God. Amen. We're to do it over and over again, not only with our words, but also by example. We are to diligently teach our children. When Jesus was asked on one occasion, turn with me to the book of Mark, about the great commandments that are found in the Old Testament. He referenced the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Turn to the 12th chapter of Mark just for a few moments. A lot of people overlook this. But actually, when Jesus was asked by one of the scribes, which are the great commandments, he listed three, not two, but he listed three commandments. One of which is the Shema. Katathashema is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. All Hebrews know that. They're taught that from a small child. It's something that they're repeated, that they repeat often. Actually, when they get up out of the bed, an Orthodox Jew will repeat that. The Lord God is one God. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. I'm telling you, there's a God that created us. And there's a God that sustains us. And people need to know that there is a Jehovah God. Amen. They need to be taught that God is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We need to educate our children in the things of God. That the God that we serve, He's one. We're not pantheists. We don't believe that there's all different kinds of gods. There's one God. God that created us, created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh. A God that we read about in His holy word that is holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's good. Angels constantly and perpetually, they fly about Him and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's the kind of God our children need to learn about. Not some kind of God that's humanistic. I'm afraid that many of our brethren have humanized God. God is not human. Amen. He's divine. Amen. They've humanized God. They've deified man. They've maximized sin. I tell you, we live in a crooked and perverse society, and we need to teach our children there's a God. God that created us and is over us. Amen. Amen. The God that created us is over us. One of the things that you notice as you read this sixth chapter of Deuteronomy is the earlier chapter. Chapter 5, where we read the Ten Commandments. And those commandments are over us. Our country can take them out of the different places. They can take them out of the schools. And they can take them out of our government buildings. But I'll tell you something. They cannot take them out of our homes. Amen. Cannot take them out of our hearts. And they cannot take them out of the church. Amen. We are to teach our children that God is God and there is no other. Amen? Yes, He's God and there is no other. Our children need to see that in our lives. When Jesus was answering that question in verse 29, when the scribe had asked Him, which is the first and greatest commandment, He said, the first and the greatest commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Amen. That's what He said. That's the number one right there. Listen, my friend. If you're a parent, your children need to see that God is. They need to see that there's an authority over you, that there's a God over you that has control over you. They need to see that in Him you live and move and have your being. Amen. They need to see that God is. That He's one. That you're not serving your employer. That you're not serving some entity here. You're not serving the stars of heaven. You're not into all of that. You're serving the God that created the universes. Hear, O Israel. That's the greatest one. Well, certainly, if we are to be teachers and learners of the things of God, we ought to learn and teach the number one thing. Amen. He said the first, the greatest, the most important. See, people will not love God if they don't know there is a God. These people that claim to be atheists, people who deny the existence of God, they're fools. The fool has said there is no God. They're fools. There's evidence all around us that God is. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament, His handiwork. I tell you, not only that, but you can look in our society and the good that you see in people. Many times it is evidence that God is, that God is love. The love that we experience in humanity, the divine love, the agape love, the unconditional love. It's not within the human race that we have that. It's because God is love that we have that in humanity and in us. God's love is demonstrated many times even through His people. The number one thing, He said the number one commandment is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And He says in verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, and namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Let's turn just briefly to the Ten Commandments. I'm running out of time, but I still believe that parents are the greatest influence on how we reverence and respect God. The kind of parents we are, the kind of parents we become, how we teach our children to love God and respect their fellow man, many times stems from parents teaching their children and showing their children how to do that.
Amen.
And so even in the Ten Commandments, there are two things. You might remember I preached on the Ten Commandments, 7-8 years ago. And I preached 10 weeks because there's 10 commandments. But at the very core, in the middle, the fifth commandment, the hinge for the earlier and the latter commandments, the earlier commandments that teach us about piety, devotion, and humility toward a holy God. And iniquity, the many thou shalt not. I don't know if you remember or not, but I tried to point out that in each one of these commandments, there's not only a negative, but there's also a positive. I don't know if you remember or not, but I'll just refresh your memory hurriedly. There's not only a negative, but a positive. When it says thou shalt not kill, then you're to also demonstrate a positive aspect of that. You're to care for your fellow man. You're to love your fellow man. When it says, thou shalt not steal, then you are to be generous and have generosity and give yourself toward your fellow man. You know, when it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, it's telling us to be faithful and loving in our relationships. I mean, every place, when it says, thou shalt not lie, it's telling us to be honest. Tell the truth. When it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the hinge to the piety and the iniquity. There's two main things being taught in the Ten Commandments. It's teaching us about piety, how to have love and devotion toward God, the first four. And the latter part is teaching us about iniquity, the things we need to stay away from, the things that we need to shun. So we have the piety that needs to be shadowed by parents, and we have the iniquity that needs to be shunned by the parents. Not only are we to shadow and shun, but we are to teach our children how to love God.
Amen.
How to worship God. You know, those first commandments teach us on how to worship and how to approach God. Parents need to teach their children how to worship. But you know, when it says honor your father and mother, that's a lifelong commitment that we need to make. It's not just when you're young. Now, children, when you're young, you need to obey your parents in the Lord. Amen? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. It's right. It's the right thing to do. Children, God, Jehovah God, has said, obey your parents. Not only that, but all of us have a lifelong obligation and a commitment to honor them. Honor them. Now, keep in mind, honoring your parents is unconditional. Obeying them is conditional. In Ephesians chapter 6, also in Colossians, obey your parents, it says, in the Lord. You know, if they're trying to get you to do something that's not according to the Word of God, then you're not under obligation to obey them. But of course, if they tell you to do a certain thing, you better obey them, or I'll get spanking. But, the honoring part, we have some parents that are just not honorable. And actually, that's the positive part of that honoring your father and mother. People are told, we're instructed to honor our father and mother, but I'll tell you something, parents need to live honorable lives worthy of being honored.
Amen.
And let me say this. Just hit me like a ton of bricks. Boom. Boom. It's never too late to do the honorable thing.
Amen.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but parenting is a lifetime commitment. It really is. Even when you get old, you still have an obligation and responsibility toward your family. And your family has a responsibility toward you. Well, I can demonstrate that. A passage of Scripture came to mind. I think I jotted it down. I believe it's over in the book of... Where is that at? I think it's in the book of Timothy, where it tells us that we are to, the fifth chapter, verse 4. He was talking about widows and children and nephews, talking about the family. And in verse 4 of the fifth chapter of 1 Timothy, he says, let them learn first to show piety at home. Well, what's it saying? It says, well, if there's somebody who's in the church and they're older, the church doesn't have an obligation to take care of them. Their family needs to have piety or respect for their elders. And I wish we could regain that. We need to regain the respect for our elders. Children, if your parents are not teaching you to say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, you're hearing it from this pulpit today. Amen. Your elders should be respected.
Amen.
God's word teaches it.
Right.
And if you're a young parent, and maybe you weren't taught this growing up, but it's a very good thing for you to teach your children. Teach them to respect those that are older.
Right.
See, the breakdown in our society is a result of a lack of a core teaching that should be taught within the home, and it's respect.
Amen.
It's honor.
Right.
Honoring, showing devotion and loyalty. I heard an old preacher a long time ago. He was preaching a sermon, and I was a young parent, and it just was seared in my mind when he said it. He said, the best way to show your children who God is to live a good moral life and a spiritual life that reflects the things of God.
Right.
I said, wow.
Amen.
Wow. I had written down somewhere the word shadow. Shadow of the true deity. You got deity, piety, iniquity, doing diligently. You got all these words because we're worried about our children's eternity. Amen? Are you with me? So he says, they need to show piety. You have a responsibility to, and in these passages it says even repay them. In other words, you know, take care of your elders. Take care of your mom and dad when they get old and they can't take care of themselves. Hey, you know, if you got to change their diaper, they changed yours. If you have to feed them, they fed you.
Amen.
Huh? Sure they did. If you have to bathe them, they bathed you.
Amen.
Look at that passage. See, we've lost a respect within our society. And you know, even the Bible talks about how that Christians should show respect toward those that are in authority over us. And our children, we have a generation that has no respect for authority.
Amen.
And it's because they failed to learn respect at home.
Amen.
They weren't taught to respect their moms and their dads. They weren't taught to respect God and respect their government and respect their president, respect their senators, and respect their pastors. Isn't that what it says? It even says in the Bible, you know, those that rule over you in the Lord, obey. Having reference to the pastor. It says those that serve you as pastor, to give them double honor. I mean, you're to honor them. I mean, it's... But you know why we have so many young preachers that are just They go to try to pastor a church and they are just beat down to no end. Young men that go away from churches and it's their first pastorate and they like, they're not sure they even want to do this anymore. You know why? Because they're serving that generation that has no respect for authority. And here's how it all happens. We teach our children respect authority, and then when they grow up, they'll respect God. Because I'll tell you, God is the final authority. An eternity, listen to me, eternity is hinged upon respecting God. Upon what He has said, how He has devised a plan, having respect for His word, allowing it to have authority over us, that when it says, repent of your sins, that Jesus came to save us, that you'll humble yourself before God, you'll call on the Lord and you'll seek Him out and you'll trust in Jesus and be saved. Amen. You hear that God has said in His holy word, repent or perish. You repent. When you hear that God has said that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with sincerity and complete devotion, you'll understand that. When you hear that there's a judgment out there in the future where every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, you'll have the fear of the Lord and you'll tremble before the Lord and say, Lord, I need my sins covered. I need my iniquities removed. And I'll tell you, there's only one place that happens, and it's the one who shoulders all of eternity, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On Him is the government of eternal life. And when you come to Jesus Christ confessing your sins, yes, you're in a church that still preaches that you got to confess your sins.
Amen.
You got to come before the Lord and say, I have sinned against you, O God. And you, I'm accountable unto you for every wrong action and wrong thought and wrong word that I've ever spoken in my life. And I come to you confessing those things and repenting of my sins. Looking to Jesus as the only way of having it removed, having it canceled. The only way to have my sins taken from me where I can walk into the presence of a holy God. I tell you, we need that kind of preaching in our churches today. Need it. I'm about done. I didn't even get to the Ten Commandments, did I? But you look at that middle one. Honor your father and your mother. You know, it's the only commandment with promise. First commandment with promise anyway. There's other commandments with promise, but it's the first commandment with promise. You know why? Because they're trying to teach you how to worship God. You know, to come directly to God. I mean, that's what the first one teaches. You know, have no other gods before me. Hey, listen, God says, you got to come to me directly. Listen, you're going to answer to God directly.
Right.
You don't go through a priest.
Amen.
You don't go through a church. You don't go through some government. I'll tell you how you get to God. You go directly to God.
Amen.
You know, and God says, don't mess with my name. Don't take my name in vain.
Right.
You better be sincere when you talk about and think about and deal with the things of God.
Amen.
You know, and he says, don't mess with my day. You know? I mean, he does. Don't mess with my name. There needs to be an appointed time, a devotion to God. You know, he talks about a Sabbath day. And, you know, I could go through and read these. But the point is this. He's talking about us coming to God, and he's talking about us reverencing God. He's talking about us worshiping God and coming directly to God with sincerity and devotion. That's piety. Devotion. Being devout. We need pious parents. We need pious people in our churches. Piety is a reverence toward a supreme being. It's not only a reverence, but it's a love and a devotion toward Him. Do you love the Lord God today? Piety is being obedient to His will, being devoted to His service. I tell you, we would have more people honoring God if we had people honoring their parents. Amen. It's unfortunately, we have more parents, older parents, that are devoted and faithful to God than we do younger parents. And people, that needs to change. Amen. Needs to change. Best way to teach your children to stay away from iniquity and shun it, and the Bible teaches us to even shun, wow, I've been for a long time, to shun the very appearance of evil, the best way to shun iniquity is for you to shun it yourself.
Amen.
Tell them it's wrong. It's wrong. To have intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage. I tell you, that needs to be preached. The media has it wrong. God is right. The world is wrong. You need to tell them that it's fornication. It's adultery. Have affairs outside the bonds of matrimony. It's one man for one woman for life. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but when you stood at the altar, and you stood before the preacher, or the justice of peace, or somebody who had the authority to marry you, you pledged to have an honorable home.
Amen.
I don't know if you realized it, but you vowed to honor, to bring honor, honor, honor into your homes.
Amen.
To honor, love, honor. I tell you, our homes need to be restored.
Amen.
To that degree of honor where God is taught, how we reach Him, how we prevent offenses toward Him. Do you realize if you hurt somebody, God holds you accountable for that? There's a judgment. There's a payday coming someday. Amen? I know there's a lot of people think they've gotten away with a lot of stuff. Well, they're wrong.
Amen.
I tell you, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, He is Lord. He's Lord! Stalin and Hitler and all these guys, I tell you, we might not catch all the terrorists, but they're coming in before the judgment seat of God.
Amen.
They will give an account. All the wrongs done in this world will be made right by Jehovah God.
Amen.
You're going to stand before Him. I'm going to stand before Him. The whole world will stand before Him and give an account. I appreciate your attention this morning. Let's honor our parents. You know, the best way to honor your parents is by the way you live your life. By serving God, shunning sin, becoming a pious person, one who's devoted to God. You've devoted your life into God. And I want to say this, you may be older, you know, but it's never too late to do the honorable thing. Amen? You know, Jesus talked about the 11th hour people, didn't He? And let me tell you something, what He taught. He said, you know those people that come in at the late in life, at the 11th hour? He said, they're going to get the same pay as those that came in early.
That's right.
Amen.
God has a great deal of respect for somebody who strives to do the right thing even late in life. Then, so much respect for that He will honor them with the same pay, same rewards. That's our God, isn't He? He's merciful. Stand to your feet. Let's sing a song. If you're here today and you're lost and in your sins, the altar is open for you to seek the Lord. If you're a parent and you want to do the right thing and you need to pray, you can come and do that today while you have time and opportunity. Let us stand and sing.
Page 234, 2013, pray.
Maybe there's a father here today and you want to pray. I don't know. The altar's open. Never too late to do the right thing.